So first I want to thank everybody for coming. Again, as I say every year, we know that this time of the year is a very busy time, and people have family celebrations and all sorts of very important things to do, so it's always appreciated. The shiur that I give annually, Zecher Nishmas Imi Marasi, Rabbanis Miriam Bracha, Basra Mary Yoshua. And this is the ninth Yortzeit, which means it's the tenth year, Yortzeit Ketira. I'll speak a little bit at the end about that. But, something that doesn't seem very real to me, but that could be actually 10 years, but that's because she still remains a very much a living presence to all of the members of our family. My brother and sister-in-law are here, other members of the family are here, and certainly that's a tremendous tribute to her in its own right. We'll try to talk more about that towards the end. The topic that we picked is the, again, a topic in Neros Chanukah, and I'd like to develop one aspect, or an important aspect, I think, of why this mitzvah is so singular and so different than one would have expected that it would be in terms of its range and its impact and its status. The, Torah generally, or halacha, is often divided by drabanan and doraisa. And we know that there are different rules that govern, this division of halachic law. Things like Sveika Doraisa Lechumran, Sveika Darbanan Lekula, many other differences as well. It seems obvious that there should be a difference between Dinim Darbanan and Dinim Doraisa. After all, Dinim Doraisa, biblical laws, really represent the Dvar Hashem, the Word of God. That's the foundation of our capacity, our ability to have a relationship with which otherwise would seemingly be impossible. How can man have a relationship with a transcendent being, omnipotent and omniscient creator? We can't even discuss divinity in an intelligent way, as the philosophers, Jewish and non-Jewish, all point out. And therefore, the ability to have a kesher, a bond, which is the foundation for a meaningful life and a purposeful existence, is something which seems to be on very shaky grounds. The short answer is that the Torah's perspective is that the Gilui Shechina, the revelation of Dvar Hashem at Har Sinai, Yom HaShishi, the day for which creation was made, without which the world would return or revert to a state of tohu vavohu, that Dvar Hashem allows us to live a purposeful life. It directs us by allowing us to internalize values, have goals that are spiritually endorsed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and even more than that, it actually allows us to accomplish the absolutely indispensable and also seemingly impossible at the same time, and that is to develop a bond, a kesher, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, what the Rambam sometimes calls the Achdut HaMashkil, the Hamuskal. If you can attach yourself to the product of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then in some respect you are bonding and binding with him as well. And therefore, the status of Doraisa, as opposed to Drabanan, is obviously exceedingly significant. We speak about, Shivin Panav Torah, and Torah being Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talked about Torah Shebitzav. But when we talk about, again, the special elevated status of the halakha, obviously the first rank that we're dealing with are dinim doraisa, and typically we understand that dinim derabanan, rabbinic enactments, constitute a second level at a much lower level and a much more flexible body of law in terms of the capacity to apply them as circumstances warrant. And that, of course, is the case. if you were to ask somebody what are the prominent mitzvos to Rabbanan, they certainly, you know, would immediately respond with, you know, by invoking Kriyas HaMegillah and the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, and it's taken as an axiom that these are, you know, typical of mitzvos to Rabbanan. However, a further exploration of both, I had the opportunity to do this in Megillah before Purim last year, but today I want to focus, I think they are somewhat different, on Chanukah, reveals that the matter is not quite as simple. It's much more complicated than that. There seems to be a lot of evidence that the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah and the entire period of Chanukah has a much more elevated status than simply being a din d'rabbanan. And I'd like to discuss some of that evidence this evening, and mostly to try to understand what the implications of that are. Just to highlight it to begin with, obviously the Rambam does not count Neiros Chanukah or Mikra Megillah in the minyan of Taryag. That is, according to the Rambam, that's what he establishes in his rules, Shorish Aleph. You should only be counting biblical laws, and since Neiros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah and quite a few other things are only rabbinic laws, therefore, Minyan Taryag is not the place for them. However, it's striking to note that in the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Tadjagon, at least to the extent that we can really penetrate what that list really is, with the help of Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlo, but also with a healthy dose sometimes of skepticism about some of the suggestions, it would seem that Rav Tadjagon, it's clear pretty much that Rav Tadjagon, in his Minyan Taryag, counts Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah. Neiros Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah in the Taryag. Now that alone doesn't prove very much, because you could say that Rav Tadjagon simply has a more flexible Minyan Taryag, which includes Drabanas. For example, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who also tend to work enumerating 613 commandments, he lists the number of drabanas. The Rambam roundly criticizes him in Shorish Aleph of Sefer HaMitzvos. That's exactly where he develops his principle that only doraisas can be delineated in that list, and his target is the Bahad. And while the Ramban valiantly defends some of the Bahad's choices and suggests, we'll get to one of them in a moment, that some of them are really daraisas or a form of daraisas, it seems that the Bahag was open to counting certain drabanans in his Minyan Taryag. And therefore, the fact that he also counted Neiros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah among 613, considering that he also has a Ruvei Chatzeros and a Tilas Yadai, a few other things that he also counts that clearly are drabanan, is obviously less significant. In other words, that the debate between the Rambam and the Bahag is partially a methodological debate, a debate about the standards and the character of Minyan HaMitzvos. However, is this the case for Rav Tadjagon? It would seem that the only drabanans that Rav Tadjagon really counts are Neiros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah. So it doesn't seem that he fundamentally disagrees with the more obvious or self-evident perspective that Minyan Taryag should be limited to Dinim Daraisa. It seems that these two drabanans have a very special stature and status. Again, this to be contrasted not only with the Bahag, but also with the Urayim. The Urayim also counted Neiros Chanukah in his Minyan Taryag, but he actually integrated Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah together. It appears that the Urayim thinks that Neiros Shabbos has some sort of quasi-Daraisa status, and when he does this, he tells you that he's kind of integrating Neiros Chanukah together with the more prominent Neiros Shabbos, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes, rather than elevating Neiros Chanukah, right, in its own right to being a worthy member of the 613 club. But Rav Tadjagon, who seems to be much more specific in what he counts, Rav Tadjagon, who only seems to count Neros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah through Rabbanans, obviously seems to be projecting some sort of elevated status for these two mitzvos. They are not typically mitzvos de Rabbanan, and the question is, what are the implications of that? What does it really mean? The truth is that the Rambam, while he certainly rejected counting Chanukah and Purim in Minyan HaMitzvos, does seem to project a very high stature and status to both Mikra Megillah, again we'll be speaking mostly about Neros Chanukah, just Mikra Megillah when it helps, to both Mikra Megillah and to Neros Chanukah. And this is evident throughout in very subtle ways and in some cases in very obvious ways, but the pattern, in my opinion, of cumulative evidence is unmistakable that the Rambam, too, perceived Mikra Megillah and Neros Chanukah not merely as mitzvos d'Rabbanan, but as constituting something singular and special. Almost a quasi-Doraisa, maybe even a Kiyum Doraisa, as I'll try to explain. How is this evident? Well, the Rambam, number one, chooses, so itself doesn't prove anything, but certainly it's curious. The Rambam, Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, basically decided that Chanukah and Purim deserve their own category, their own classification. Okay, the Rambam in Sefer Zmanim has bundles, Rosh Hashanah, meaning Hilchos Shofar, Hilchos Sukkah, and Lulav. He has a special category for Chametz, and so on. And when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, instead of integrating them, he has numerous other options to classify them and to formulate them. He gave them a section in and of themselves. Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, Yesh b'Klalon Shtei Mitzvos Aseh, Midivrei Sofrim, Ve'einon Min HaMinyan. Even as he tells you that they're not Min HaMinyan, he promotes their stature, right, by giving them their own classification. It's also curious that he, in that section, speaks, we'll talk about more about this in a minute, talks about actually three mitzvot, all of which he calls Midivrei Sofrim, Megillah, Chanukah, and Hallel. But the section is called Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, and even this, even though he's not being Moneh, the count is Yesh b'Chlalon Shtei Mitzvos Aseh Midivrei Sofrim. He doesn't bother counting the hollow. We'll try to get back to that in just a couple of minutes. And the question is this only an anomaly? Maybe the Rambam, for efficiency reasons, felt it was better to treat this topic independently, although again, designating a special section, certainly for somebody like the Rambam who, you know, whose blueprint for Yad HaChazakah was, you know, completely thought out to the nth degree, likely means much more. But if we continue to analyze the Rambam's treatment, especially the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, it becomes even more abundantly clear that the Rambam understood that the mitzvah of Chanukah is something which has high spiritual aspirations and ambitions. The Rambam's formulation of the characteristics that are singular or salient in Chanukah expands them well beyond the source, which is the Gemara. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, well-known Gemara in Kapalah from the base, says, "My Chanukah, the Tanur Rabbanan, B'Kafei B'Kislev, Yomi D'Chanukah, T'manya Inun, D'lo Mitzbahon, V'lo D'lo Samos Bahon, Shekeshenichnesu Yivanim Lahechal, Timu Kol Hashmanim Shebehechal, Kishagavru Malchus Beis Chashmoy Benitzkom, Bod Kuvla Matsu Ala Pachechad Shal Shemen Shrei Murach Bechassam Shal Chayim." That is on page 1, number 6. I'm going to thank Abraham for his good work in renumbering everything and so on. V'lahoye bo el lahadlik yom echad. Nasa bonais v'hidliku mimena shmona yamim. That's all background. That's all the historical context. And then the important part, the Gemara then says, l'shana acheres kiva'um va'asa'um yomim tovim, they were made yomim tovim, the halel, the hodaka. Okay, so the Gemara, basically, in answering the question, my Chanukah, we try to bring this price in every year in one way or another, What is the quintessence? What is the essential nature of Chanukah? So the Gemara gives an answer that consists of three components. Yomim Tovim, Hallel, and Hodah. But if you look at the Rambam's treatment of each of these terms, each one is reformulated and somewhat expanded. The term Yom Tov, which Rashi neutralizes completely, Rashi says there aren't three, it's a Yom Tov of Hallel and Hodah. Rashi says Hallel means saying Hallel, Hodah means Al Nisim. The Rambam understood that the word Yomim Tovim, at least apparently understood, refers to the category of Simcha. It's not explicit in any Gemara that there is a mitzvah or even a kiyum of Simcha on Chanukah. But the Rambam understood from the word Yom Tov that that's what it means. If you look here in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, right, this is page 1, number 8, the Rambam says, "Mipnei zeh kinu chachamim shebaos sadar," this is obviously his translation or his rendering of the Braisa, "sheyush shmonas hayamim ha'elu shetzkilasa milal chamisha ve'esrim v'kislev yenei simcha v'halel u'madlikin bohen ha'neros be'erev al piskei habatim v'cholayla v'layla mishmonas ha'lelos laharos u'legalos esanes." So this formulation in the Rambam, again, you always have to, in order to appreciate the Rambam's novel approach to things, you always have to look at the source that he draws from and then assess, you know, whether or not he's taking it a step further and whether that, you know, difference or that addition is significant or not. I would say everything about the Rambam's rendering of this Sabraisa constitutes cumulative evidence of an elevated status of Chanukah. So instead of the word Yom Tov, the Rambam inserted the word Yimei Simcha. This is a matter of great controversy in the halakha. After all, I would say there is no evidence that there's a chiyuv of Seuda or Simcha on Yom Tov. We had a shiur, lunch today, we did it without bread. So obviously that's, proves something, right? And the Marm Rutenberg has a tshuva, and the Marshal made it even more famous, that there's no obligation of Seuda on Chanukah. Again, Bach and others contrasted Purim and Chanukah with respect to this issue. Purim, not only is there a Seuda, but the Seuda actually, plays an outsized role. It's the Mishta, which creates a Simcha, rather than the Simcha, which results in there being a Mishta. That's why the physical aspect of the heightened sensitivities or consciousness, that is part of the Seudas Purim is appropriate, at least the way it's supposed to be is appropriate for that particular day. But we don't find any parallel in Chanukah. Indeed, there may be no obligation of Seuda whatsoever. Now again, not everybody agrees in this particular point. The fact is that there are those who dispute this and who are of the opinion that there is a din of Simcha. The Rav Yoh, for example, was of the opinion, I think I mentioned this last year when we did a different topic, that saying Al Anisim in Birchas HaMazon, if people accept that this is an appropriate Hazkara, the Medina the Gemara, it seems clear that it's not necessary, but Rav Yoh, I'll try to get back to this later if I can, is of the opinion that just like Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, but Kivin de Kiblu Shavya Kechova, right, that when people daven Marid, they treat it as a Tfilas Shalchova, or maybe once they commit themselves to davening Marid, they're always obligated to daven. Those are two perspectives. That's the view of the Rif and others. So too, says the Rav Yoh, even though there is no obligation to say Al Anisim in the benching of a Seudas Chanukah, right, Klal Yisrael has accepted upon themselves, and if there's no Al Anisim, it's Ma'akev, the benching, Bizmanim. Again, we don't pask in that way, but that's the view of the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh even uses language comparable to Purim about there being Seuda and Simcha and Mishteh, right, in order to highlight this point. In the Gemara that we're going to read very soon, a Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which speaks about there being a mitzvah connected with Chanukah, the famous tshuva of the Chavos Yair, where he suggests that the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Simcha v'Seuda. So the Rambam is not alone, but really the Rambam was a pioneer here, and certainly there's no indication in the Gemara. So the Rambam in the word Yom Tov has already expanded, certainly well beyond Rashi, what Chanukah is all about. The next word, Hallel, the Rambam understands Kipshuto. You say Hallel on Chanukah. But, again, as we've noted in other years, the Rambam's treatment of Hallel in Chanukah is absolutely astonishing. Number one, the fact that the Rambam chose to develop and to formulate the dinim of Hallel in Hilchos Chanukah is remarkable. Because Hilchos Yom Tov precedes Hilchos Chanukah by several sections. The saying of Hallel on Yom Tov, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Erechin, right, certainly is as, probably more justified, certainly according to the Ramban, as we'll discuss, more justified than saying it on Chanukah. So bypassing Hilchos Yom Tov and deciding to integrate the dinim of Hallel specifically in Hilchos Chanukah is a way for the Rambam to make a couple of statements, the minimum of which is that the Hallel of Chanukah is particularly preeminent and prominent, as if to say, this is where it belongs, even though Hallel belongs also to the Moadim, it particularly belongs here in Chanukah. And there's no reason in the Gemara why you would have to say that. Moreover, again, something we've pointed out in the past, the way that the Rambam codifies the dinim of Hallel further reinforces this perspective. After all, the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah Halacha Daled, is on page 2, number 9. After describing the three components that we're discussing right now of Chanukah, then goes on to explain the process. He says, Kol shechai v'kriya sa Megillah, chai v'hadlakas ner Chanukah, v'madlikos sa v'layla harishon, v'varech gimel brachos. Right? There are three brachos that you make, and he goes on to list them on the first night and the other two, the two for the other nights. So you would have expected that immediately following that would be the dinim of hadlakas neros Chanukah. Instead, the next halacha, halacha hey, right, shockingly enough, again, we mentioned it in past years, and it's right here, and people who read the Rambam know this, but, you know, like the author of the Mesilas Yesharim, you know, in his famous Hakdama, sometimes the things we know the best are the things that we pay attention to the least. So it's important to realize just how shocking it is that Halacha Hey, instead of dealing with the Dinei Hadlaka, actually go off on a tangent, or appears on a tangent, B'chol Yom B'Yom, Mishmonas Hayom B'Elu, Gomri Mishahalel, U'mvarach L'fanav, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav L'tzivanu, Ligmor Sahalel, Bein Yachid, Bein Tzibur, and so on. Alpha Bisha Kriya Sahala Mitzvah Mitzvah Sofrim, Mivarech Allah Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu, Kederach Shemivarech Allah Megillah V'Allah Eru. So this halach on the Rambam begins a whole series of extensive discussion of the Dinei Hallel in general. And basically, as I've said in the past, the Rambam is mafsik between Birchas Hadlakas Neros Chanukah and Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. He's mafsik with Hallel. And the question is, why did he do it? That he put Dinei Hallel in Hilchos Chanukah is one thing, right? That he was actually mafsik between one and the other shows that he thinks that somehow these are connected. The fact that despite integrating or inserting Dinei Hallel in Hilchos Chanukah, he still doesn't acknowledge it as an independent mitzvah midivrei sofrim, right? Suggesting or arguing, claiming that there are only two that he deals with, namely Megillah and Chanukah, further reinforces the notion that the Dinei Hallel are here not so much for Dinei Hallel, or at least also for Chanukah. And that this triad of Yom Tov, Hallel, and Hodah, which the Rambam has rendered Simcha, Hallel, and we'll get to the third one in just a second, are essentially catapulting the din of Chanukah and the Hallel of Chanukah well beyond what you would have expected. It's certainly likely that it's not a coincidence that when the Gemara in Shabbos and in Sukkah raise the question how it is that one can say Vitzivanu, Asher Kedushanu V'Mitzvah, Vitzivanu, when it comes to the mitzvah of a mitzvah drabanan, the Gemara uses the example of Neros Chanukah. Asher Kedushanu V'Mitzvah, Vitzivanu, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. How can you say Vitzivanu? The Rabbanu Shalom didn't tell you to light Chanukah candles. Right? That's a din drabanan. And the Gemara explains that it's based on the principle of Lososa. But the Rambam, when he codifies that Gemara, right, switches it from the Tzivanu of Neros Chanukah to the Tzivanu of Halal. That's in the same halacha. The Rambam omits Chanukah as if in Chanukah there really isn't a problem of saying Vitzivanu anyway. There's a problem in Megillah, there's a problem in Hallel. But again, this substitution of Hallel for Neros Chanukah, the hefsek of Neros Chanukah with Hallel, the insertion of Hallel in Hilchos Chanukah, all of these form, I think, a very compelling pattern. The third one, of course, is perhaps the most surprising one of all. What the Gemara calls Hoda'ah, the Rambam renders Hadlokas Neros Chanukah. Right? Yemei Simcha v'Hallel, Umadlikin bohen aneros ba'erev al pischei habatim b'chalayla v'layla mishmonas halelos. And everything about this formulation is singular and somewhat startling, also very inspiring. The Rambam apparently understood that Hoda'ah is not a reference to Al HaNisim, which he deals with in Hilchos Brachos, but is a reference to the actual mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. Heichan matzinu, anywhere else, that the performance of a mitzvah is defined as an act of hodah, of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is usually something that you articulate. A question that Maral and others raised. But it's not just that the Rambam substituted for hodah or translated hodah Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. It's much more than that. Rambam says, Madlikin haneros be'erev al piskei habatim. The where, the venue, implying that the persume nisa is part of the actual hagdara of the hodah, is something that also emerges in the Rambam. Later on in Perek Dalid, the Rambam is much more specific about where the hadlaka should take place. It's gratuitous for him to add the words al piskei habatim here, as if to say, where you light is part of the reason why this constitutes hodah. And then, of course, the formulations laharos ulegalos efanes are singular. There's something about lighting which demonstrates, it's not just publicizes, it somehow demonstrates, it reminds us of the language that the Rambam uses in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, right, that on the night of the Seder, Kayim Adam, Mishnah says, and Haggadah says, Liro sesatzmo kilu yatsa mimitrayim, and the Rambam turned it into Laharos asmo kilu yatsa ata mimitrayim. So the phrase here, Laharos, is significant, and Legalos, Legalos is not simply Lafarsim. Legalos is to somehow take what you have and to turn the inside into an outside, to reveal something by doing the act of Neros Chanukah. These are very suggestive language. Later on, in the passage that we're going to read in just a couple of minutes, the Rambam gets back to this theme in Perek Dalet Halakha Yud Beis. There he repeats the idea that Neros Chanukah is Hodaya, and there he once again takes another stab at formulating what it is about this act of Neros Chanukah that makes it so singular. But even in his translation of the of the Gemara itself, it's already perfectly clear that the Rambam has a program to elevate the status of Neros Chanukah. I say this is particularly highlighted by his reiteration, but also expansion in Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, Perek Dalid, Halacha, is it Yud Gimel or Yud Beis? Mitzvahs Neros Chanukah Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od, where is that? Where do we have that? Number 10? Yeah, excellent, thank you. The Rambam says here, Mitzvah Neir Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. V'tzarech Adam Lehizahir Bo, Kedei Lehodiya Hanes, U'lehosif V'shevach HaKel V'hodoya Lo, Al Anisim Sha'asalan. Again, this is... this introduction, or at least the part that I just read now, seems to be totally superfluous, totally gratuitous. There's no Gemara that says that mitzvahs Neros Chanukah is Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od. The phrase Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od is a very rare phrase. It implies, and this is going to feed into the big theme that I'm going to try to develop, again, the word Chaviva means endearing or beloved. And of course, the word Chaviva appears in Talmudic literature numerous times. But our association probably is strongest when we think about Kriya Shema and the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Yahafta eis Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. Gemara says in a number of places, right, if it says b'chol nafshecha, what do you need b'chol me'odecha? Yesh adam she gufo chaviv alav mimamono. Yesh Adam Shemamono Chaviv Alav Migufo. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafayin Dalet Amud Aleph speaks about, you know, Chavivus HaChayim and Chavivus HaMitzvah in the context of Avas Hashem, which is the source for Mesiras Nefesh. And the use of this phrase here by the Rambam, Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od, I think is very, very suggestive. We'll explain more as we go forward. Moreover, the Rambam says, Tzarech Adam Lehi Zaher Ba. Typically when you deal with a mitzvah haseh, never mind the Drabanan, we don't speak about the human, we don't speak about the dangers, Lehi Zaher Ba. You have to be very careful. It's like you're playing with fire. You're dealing with a very delicate and very sensitive issue. How, you are playing with fire, right? How you comport yourself and how you emerge from your relationship to the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, this mitzvah Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od is going to be important, and therefore it requires zehirus. Why? Kedei lahodiya hanes, because it's important that you be the source, right, that informs others of this nes. Your obligation is to communicate and to transmit, which he already said earlier, but he's repeating a different language. And here especially it's interesting, Ulahosif b'sheva chakel, and to add to the praise and to the, you know, a deeper understanding and appreciation of the Ribono Shel Olam, and then and only then the hodaya lo, the thanksgiving al anishim she'asa lanu. So basically, we'll see the language a little bit later, but when the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, and Beis speaks about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, he too speaks there about the requirement of his bonenus, b'shevach hakel, and b'hosafat hakel, both in Sefer HaMitzvos and in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. There are echoes, or there's a certain resonating, recurring imagery in the Rambam's discussion of the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. At least that's what I'm suggesting. The language here, which wasn't necessary but is so evocative, already highlights that the Rambam is accentuating this mitzvah and thinks that projecting it is very important. What follows is even more substantively significant. The Rambam adds a halacha that does not appear in the Gemara. Afilu eino mayochal, ela min hatzdaka, shoel o mocher ksuso, Basically, the Rambam says that if a person is impoverished, he's in a state of abject poverty, and he can't afford to buy the accoutrements for Neros Chanukah, then literally he has to sell the clothes off his back in order to do that. Gemara doesn't say that anywhere. As far as we know, the Rambam is the first to formulate that particular halacha. So not only is the Rambam repeating seemingly unnecessarily in very striking a language which evokes the mitzvah of Avas Hashem when he speaks about the zehirus and the chavivus of mitzvahs near Chanukah, he actually is applying a substantive consequence to it, and that is that the typical dinim that apply in terms of how far you have to go in order to fulfill a mitzvah, even a mitzvah saseh daraisa, apparently does not apply to the mitzvah derabanan of Ner Chanukah. It sounds like b'chol me'odecha, frankly. You have to pay whatever it takes. In the Chidushi Agriz al Rambam, Ravel develops a certain perspective on the concept of Mahadrin in Neros Chanukah, and one of the things that he tries to project is how unusual the financial aspect of this is, because typically, based on the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma, you would only have to pay shlish bedama. You shouldn't have to pay more than a third, right, of the value of the actual performance of the mitzvah in order to do Hidur mitzvah. And yet, by definition, if you do Mahadrin and Mahadrin and a Mahadrin, you are doing several multiples of the expense, right? We know because we pay the bills eventually. So the fact is that from a perspective of expenses and mitzvot, mitzvot say, the Raisa and Drabanan, it seems like Mitzvot Ner Chanukah is way beyond its ceiling. Ravel concludes that, the concept Mahadrin isn't really even Zekeli Van Beyu. It's just, a Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. That's a very dokak conclusion. But if really Mitzvot Neros Chanukah is singular, and it needs Zehirus, and it's Kaviva, and it's Lahudia and Lahosif the Shevach, then perhaps, again, it's B'chol Modecha, the regular dinim, perhaps do not apply. The Magen Mishnah suggests that the Rambam got this halacha that you would be obligated to sell your clothing in order to fulfill this mitzvah, that he got it from the sugya in Sachim, which speaks about the Dalet Kosos. There, the Gemara says that apilu oni lo yifchos mi Dalet Kosos. And Magen Mishnah adds, he says, well, kol shekein, if that's true for the Dalet Kosos, and certainly it should be true for Neros Chanukah. The Lecha Mishnah questions that kol shekein. Why is that a kol shekein? After all, both seem to be connected to the concept of Pirsumei Nisa. So why is one any better than the other? But other Achronim point out that if that was the Makar, it still falls short. The Gemara there says, Mishnah there says, that oni lo yitchos midalet kosos. It doesn't say that he has to sell his clothes necessarily in order to do that. Either way, this halacha of the Rambam is something which catapults the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah right into a different category, or so it would appear, that into a different category completely. Let's go a step further. Maybe if we examine a couple of sugyas in the Gemara very quickly, maybe we'll find the key to understanding what it is about Neros Chanukah. I've already made a suggestion that I want to reinforce and build on. Maybe we'll understand better what it is that gives this mitzvah its singular quality. Okay. So in order to do that, what I'd like to do is discuss particularly three or four different issues where the Gemara itself distinguishes the status of Ner Chanukah. So far, I've been speaking about Rav Sajagon, who counts this mitzvah de Rabbanan, even though that's atypical for his methodology in Minyan HaMitzvos. And then I've been speaking about how the Rambam, I think with cumulative evidence, just treats Neros Chanukah in a way that is completely unexpected, both the way that he formulates the dinim, the extra requirements he has, etc. But let's take a step back and see whether or not there is a source for all this in the Talmud itself, and if so, what does it point to? And really, there are three Gemaras that highlight or underscore the singular quality of Deiros Chanukah being its Pirsumei Nisa. The question is, in all three of these Gemaras, how to understand that particular idea. Is Pirsumei Nisa an additional requirement and mostly a quantitative addition? You have a mitzvah drabanan, and it also accomplishes, you know, Pirsum Hanetz, adds to the Shevach of the Ribono Shel Olam. Or, when the Gemara underscores Pirsumei Nisa as the basis for the singular status of Ner Chanukah, also Mikra Megillah in some cases, does it mean that the entire basis of the mitzvah, the source of the mitzvah, the status of the mitzvah, is different as well? So let's analyze this briefly, analyze this elevated status as it appears in the context of the characteristic of Pirsumei Nisa. The first issue to discuss briefly is the question of the relationship between Kiddush and Ner Chanukah. Gemara says in the background is in Masechet Shabbos on the Chof Gimel Amud Beis. One second. Let's go to page. What do we have here? Chof Gimel Amud Beis. Yeah. Okay. Good. Sorry. 2, number 11. I guess we're in order. Amar Rava. Pshitali Ner Ubeis Ner. Beiso v'ner Chanukah, ner beiso adin. He said, it's obvious to me that if you have a choice between ner Chanukah and ner Shabbos, that ner beiso adin b'shem shalom beiso. Spoke of that last year. Ner beiso v'kiddush hayom, ner beiso adin b'shem shalom beis. The question is, by Rava, ner Chanukah v'kiddush hayom ma? Let's say you only have enough money for either Neros Chanukah or for kiddush hayom. The language of the Gemara is particularly interesting, as we'll discuss. It doesn't say Yayin LaKiddush, which is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. It says Kiddush Hayom. Anyways, the Gemara formulates the problem. Kiddush Hayom Adif the Tadir, O Dilma Ner Chanukah Adif, Bishu Pirsumei Nisa. After all, we have a rule, Tadir Bein Tadir, Tadir Kodem, right? So it's more ubiquitous, it happens more often, gets precedent, or you believe in not just always the next, you know, best new thing, but the, you know, the things that are, you know, part of our core and essence, Tadir. Or, what about Pirsumei Nisa? And for this Gemara, one can think that Tadir and Pirsumei are just differentiating quantitative add-ons, right, to the mitzvah. But then the Gemara's response is, Basudi bai hadar pashta, der chanukah adif, mishum Pirsumei Nisa. Gemara's conclusion is that Ner Chanukah's Pirsumei Nisa takes precedence. The question is as follows. How significant is that? What is it that we are conceding in Kiddush Hayom? And here one could take various approaches. Just to highlight that this is not only a question of Ner Chanukah and so on, at least the suggestion of Bali Tosis, that this isn't the din in Ner Chanukah, it's also a din more broadly in Chanukah. Bali Tosis here, Alatar, number 12, discuss a question that is halakha l'maisa this year, right, when Rosh Chodesh's Tebes is on Shabbos, and Tosis says, V'nir l'rajba, kishachol, this is the Rosh Mishans, kishachol Rosh Chodesh Tebes liyos b'Shabbos, sheyesh v'hafte b'nei Rosh de Zakaria, v'shum persume nisa, V'lo ba'shamayim kisi shihaf toras rosh chodesh. V'ot, kivin shamaftir korev yishol chanukah yesh lahaftir mi'inyan shakara u'mashem agdim ilikros b'shol rosh chodesh v'shem dekriyas ha'tori kivin demotil me'evet travayu tadr persume nisa avdinan travayu v'tadr kodem. V'hech lo'ev shalom me'evet travayu persume nisa adiv v'od in kriyas ha'tori ein kol kach persume nisa, etc. Basically, Tosis is wondering, forget about Neros Chanukah, what about other expressions of Pirsumei Nisan Chanukah, like Kriyas HaTorah, the Haftorah? How does that, if there's this clash between the factor of Prisumei Nisa and of Tadir, how does that resolve itself? And Tosfos has guidelines on that particular issue. Again, it's not so obvious because it might have been in Neros Chanukah, in the midst of Neros Chanukah, not necessarily in every aspect of Prisumei Nisa. And certainly in light of what I'm about to suggest, that may be the case. There are those who disagree with Tosfos. What is this idea? So the first thing to note is, I'm going to do this very briefly, it's a very, very big topic, Kiddush is overridden by Neros Chanukah. But how significant is that? Like, how important is Kiddush? Well, Kiddush is in Doraisa, but it's Kiddush al Yayin Doraisa. Right? And if not Yayin, what about at least Pots, as opposed to Tefillah or Dibur? This is a major, major machlokas among the Rishonim. Just to highlight it, you know, you can see from the Ran. The Ran says, Basa Dabai Hodr Pashto, this is number 13. Right, Ner Chanukah Adot Mishum Prasumenis. Vim Tomar, Hecha Dachinan Kiddush Hayom Doraisa, Mishum Ner Beso, Vener Chanukah. How can a Doraisa be overridden by a Drabana? Right, it doesn't hold like the Urayim that Ner Shabbos is Doraisa. Yeshloma Delo Dachinan Lai. Da Efshele Kiddush Yarifta. You can make Kiddush on Pas. Ela Di Lav Mishum Shalom Beso, Prasumenis, Mitzvina Mutchar Tvei. So basically, again, we have to pin down each one. It'll take us too much time. Let's just talk in generalities. We can break it down in the following way. There are some Rishonim, the Rabban, Mefaresh of Rashi and Nazir. The Chavetz Chaim certainly thought there was a much bigger list of Rishonim who are of the opinion that part of Kiddush Doraisa includes Yayin, or at least Yayin or Pats. Let's stick with the Yayin for the moment. According to that view, this Gemara is astounding. This Gemara says that if you have to choose between Ner Chanukah, notwithstanding the fact that it's a Dizirabbanan, right, you will override a Dindaraisa. That's shocking. There are those who think that at least, if not Yayin, then Pas, one or the other, is a requirement of a Dindaraisa. And we do find among the Rishonim and among the Poskim, the Bach and the Taz, and a major debate, again, whether or not if you know, the money is scarce, you know, the bills are due. And it's either Ner Chanukah, right, or not just Yayin, but or Yayin or Pas. What happens then? Again, there are views in the postkim that the Pirsumei Nisa of Ner Chanukah justifies overriding it in the right. You have a similar question in the postkim, of Rishonim has, with regard to Su'udas Shabbos. Let's say the Lecha Mishnah is a Doraisa requirement, according to some. This is the argument of the Taz. Taz says, just from the perspective of Lecha Mishnah itself, that's Doraisa, that overrides Pirsumei Nisa of any Din D'Rabbanan. But not all poskim agree. The Aruch HaShulchan obliquely makes the Ha'ara that even if you take the view that Yayin and Pas, right, are just, you know, the best method of doing the Doraisa, even then it's not obvious that the Pirsumei Nisa of a pure Drabanan should override the better way, the Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, of doing Doraisa. If you compare that question to parallel questions in Halacha in other contexts, that is not such a double posh. The bigger point that I'm trying to make here is that there seem to be two or three perspective, we'll just take it two to make it easier. One is that this Gemara is not that significant. That we're not talking about giving up a Kiddush Doraisa, right? We're talking about two Durabbanans. And from that perspective, it's fine. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch, when they formulate this halacha in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Ches, don't formulate it that Ner Chanukah's Adif may Kiddush Shabbos. They formulated to Adif me Yayin Lekiddush. It's a very subtle point. I don't know if anybody else picked up on it. But in the Gemara, that's not what it says. Indeed, if you read the Gemara, you might say that Lemaisa, maybe there is no clash. Because you could always be Yotze through Tefillah or Dibor. But maybe the Gemara is trying to make a bigger point, and that is, there may not be a clash, but if there were a clash, we'd still say that Ner Chanukah is adif because of Pirsumei Nisan. The Rambam, in when he codifies this halacha, that we do have here somewhere, right, halacha Yud Gimel, right, Harish Ein Lo Ela Pruta Achas, this is on the top of page 3, the Lefan of Kiddush Hayom Vadlokas Ner Chanukah, Makdim liknos shemen lahadlik ner Chanukah ala yayin lekiddush hayom. Notice the Rambam keeps it as kiddush hayom. He doesn't talk about the yayin aspect. Ho'olu shneim b'divrei sofrim mutav lahakdim ner Chanukah shigesh bo zichron hanes. So the Rambam is somewhere in between. In Perek Chavtet, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says that kiddush is doraisa. And there in Halacha Vav, Perek Chavtet, Halacha Vav, he says, but ala yayin, it's b'divrei sofrim. There are those, however, who suggested, Dibrahemis and others, that really the Rambam thinks that the requirement of Yayin is Doraisa Kiddush. And what he meant was, Dibrei Sofrim, in the sense that he sometimes means it, that it's learned out from a drasha, and therefore there are certain consequences in terms of Mujbav Yomei, Mujbav Lamatol Samitzvah, but that even the Rambam really holds that the Kiyum of Kiddush Doraisa fully requires Yayin. In which case, the fact that the Rambam doesn't speak about Yayin L'Kiddush, but speaks about the principle, at least, that Ner Chanukah is Adif Mikiddush Hayom, becomes very significant. But of course, how can we justify such a thing? How could it be that a Dindra Banan, even with the Pirsumei Nisa, is going to override a Dindra Reis? Unless we suggest that maybe the details of Ner Chanukah are Drabanan, and Pirsumei Nisa is not simply a factor that bumps up this Drabanan a little bit higher, like Tadir, but that the fact of Pirsumei Nisa is something that goes to the core and essence that defines what Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is and why it's significant. Maybe the idea is that Ner Chanukah, the combination, as we'll see in a moment, of mitzvah and pirsum, is itself a statement either of Kiddush Hashem or of Avos Hashem. I already alluded to some of the overlaps before. We'll see why this should be so in just a minute. So that even if the tzura and the details are drabanan, the Pirsumei Nisa aspect, which highlights what Ner Chanukah in an integrated fashion is really all about, is something which is a kiyum d'oraisa, something which invokes primary themes in the halacha. And we'll try to explain this a little bit more as we go forward. Indeed, this can be highlighted a little bit by two interesting discussions that we find in the post. Both in the Shari Tshuva, quoting, I think, the Shvas Yaakov and the Avnei Nezer, the following question is asked. I'm not going to read it because it's a little late. You can look at it inside. In the end of the day, isn't Kiddush Hayom also include a component of Pirsumei Nisa? After all, Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. And then the Avnei Nezer, in his formulation, goes on to say, and lest you think that that's universal, and that isn't, you know, only a Jewish concept, but we actually think that Shabbos is Osi Beini Beimenei Yisrael Osi Leolam. And therefore, the Chidush HaBriya, the Yesh Me'ayin, the miraculous act of creation, is something which is celebrated every week by the Jews. Why isn't there Pirsumei Nisa? And therefore, why can't Kiddush Hayom, why can't it compete with Ner Chanukah? Case could be made that Yesh Me'ayin is a bigger miracle. That's a question. Shari Tshuva asks the same question. The answer that they give is quite interesting, is that in the end of the day, the Kiddush of Tzorech Lomar, this is on Os Gimel, he talks about comparing it to, this is on number 15, look at Os Gimel for a second. Tzorech Lomar, Shaini HaMitzvah Shebelel Pesach, Heim Lefarsim Lebana Vubnei Beiso, Kiddush Sivi Gadat Alevincha. Mash Enken Shabbos, Shehu Rakli Atzmo, Vadavar Muvan Al Pima Shamarti Kvar B'Tam Rambam. The Kumbet Zayin the Mechuy of Limkok Suso. He tries to connect this. Shari Chishev Lasos Mitzvah V'Losa Malav Akasav Kilo Asa. Clever. So the Amnezer tries to say the following yourself. Kiddush is Zeichel Maisa Bereshis, which is a Yesh Meayin, which is a tremendous name. But there's no Din of Pirsum on it. It's the opposite. And then he goes on to say, and Dalit Kosos is, you know, the Higadith of the Vimcha, so it has a bit of a wider audience, but it's still not Le Pirsum Akol. Only something that is Pirsum Akol has the ability to accomplish this. But I'd like to suggest is that the idea of Pirsumei Nisa, this Gemara, which may even override Kiddush, both in terms of being Daraisa, as well as the Nase or Pirsum aspect of Kiddush itself, has to do with the way that Ner Chanukah and the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah came about. And that is, unlike Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, in this respect, even unlike Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah was the initiative of Klal Yisrael, of Chachmei Yisrael, in response to the events that transpired. And in that sense, the Pirsum Hanes is not a separate mitzvah. It's not only the effect that it has. It's the idea that Klal Yisrael's enthusiasm, that their overwhelming sense of, their overwhelming understanding of Hashgachas Hashem, of divine providence, their overwhelming understanding of the implications of divine providence to the special destiny of the Jewish people, impelled them to do two things. It impelled them to formulate a Maisa HaMitzvah, to give substance to those feelings, and it impelled them to formulate a substantive mitzvah, which by its nature, right, would spill over and include other people as well. In that sense, the mitzvah Pirsumei Nisa in Neis Chanukah in particular is simply unique and singular. And I want to suggest that it's that idea which ties it to the concept of Kiddush Hashem, as the Rambam develops it, talk about it in a little bit, 2 minutes, in Parakei Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, but especially to the concept of Avas Hashem. As the Gemara says in Masechet Yoma, right? V'ahavta eich Hashem Elokecha, right? Sheyehei Shem Shemayim Mis'ahev Al Yadecha. Meaning part of Avas Hashem is a certain perspective that is so overwhelming that it bubbles over or overflows, right, into a certain enthusiastic sharing with others. It's not the chiyuv only to do that. It's the formulation of the mitzvah in such a way that the dibrei shevach, as I say, overflow, and they end up having this kind of impact. Indeed, this also helps us, I think, with another aspect. The Shari Tshuva, I think he's quoting the Shmuel Yaakov, suggests, quotes the Shmuel Yaakov, I think, who suggests the following idea. So what about this manazeh we light in our homes? Mishum sakam. Right? We don't light outside anymore. So if the Gemara says that the only reason that we override Kiddush Hayom, right, is because of Pirsumei Nisa, and now we're lighting in the middle of the living room, right? So maybe we shouldn't be overriding Kiddush Hayom, together with all the other issues and problems. And then he says, this is why, he thinks, just as the Magen Avraham thinks, that Bizman HaZeh, maybe this halakha would not apply. The Shari Tshuva himself goes on to say, number one, if you look here towards the end, the Mechilas Kvodo, Agav Shitpa Raivle, Chen Kasav B'Shem Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham Lo Kasav Kein. The Magen Avraham actually says the opposite. The Magen Avraham says, if you have a clash between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, so in the olden times, when they used to light outside, it was either or, and therefore you had to choose Ner Shabbos. But in the, you know, time, because of Sakana, where people light in their homes, so why do you have to choose one? Do Ner Chanukah, you still have light in the house. An interesting question. That's what the Magen Avraham says. But the Magen Avraham never said that since Bizmanenu we light inside, and therefore there's no or less, you know, Pirsumei Nisa to the outside, that therefore the edge, the advantage that Ner Chanukah has over Kiddush Hayom is gone. In other words, This is an interesting question. Is it that persume nisa, the effect itself, which is docheh? Or is persume nisa the Gemara's way of characterizing the nature of this mitzvah as an extension of Kiddush Hashem and Abba Hashem, a kiyum daraisa, a mitzvah which, though it tsuras drabanan, is one which you have to be nizharan, which is chaviv mi'o. And if that's the case, then it's the nature of the mitzvah rather than the ability in a particular era to implement it that becomes significant. This idea, I think, would provide a more compelling reading for the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, this is number 17. The background is important here. The background is as follows. It says, Al Shisha Chadashim HaShluchim Yotzim. The Shluchim used to speed out right after Kiddush HaChodesh, right, to get the word out when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Right, Al Nisan B'Bnei HaPesach, Ab B'Bnei HaTainis, Elam B'Bnei Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei B'Bnei Takanos HaMoados, and guess what? Al Kislev B'Bnei Chanukah, and Adar B'Bnei Purim. Okay, so Kislev Mishum Chanukah. Then the Gemara says that Itmar, right, Rav Rav Chanina Omri, this is 18, Batla Megillas Tainis. Yochan Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Omri, Lo Batla Megillas Tainis. There's a debate. There used to be a whole list of, you know, of holidays that were based on Nisim that took place. Nisim that highlighted divine providence, Hashgachas Hashem. Nisim, right, that, you know, that people wanted to remember so that they could be Mishabeach and they could be Modeh. There was a whole list of them. They were written down in a book. And there's a debate whether after the Churban, right, they continued to observe those days as happy days. Nafkamina being, you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to say hespedim on those days, etc. So Rav Chanina Omer Batla Megillas Tainis, right? Hachi Kamar. Bezman Shei Shalom Yelusas Simcha, Ein Shalom Tzom, Hanachnami Kihani, Rav Yochanan Rosh Yeshua Ben Levi Omer, Lo Batla Megillas Tainis, Hanud Talin Rachmana Bebinim Beis HaMikdash, Hanachid Kain Mikad. Okay. So you have this debate whether Batla Megillas Tainis. Then the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Kahn, Maisa V'Gozer Tainis B'Chanukah B'Lud. Right, and they made a fast day on Chanukah in Lud, of all places. The yard, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, instead of fasting, the rachatz, he took a luxurious bath. Rabbi Yeshua the Sipar, and Rabbi Yeshua got his hair cut. Amr Lahem, not only did they defy this, designated fast, but they turned to the other people and they said, Su'uv hisanu amashes kisem. The fact that you were fasting on Kislev, you should, you know, after Hanukkah's older, you know, you should do a fast, you know, for forgiveness, for fasting, a fast for the fast, right? So the Gemara says, so we just said that Megillas Tainis is Bata. Omer Rav Yosef, Shaini Chanukah, the Ika Mitzvah. Chanukah is different. There's a mitzvah. Very strange Gemara. There's a debate among the Rishonim since it's late. You have the Mar Makomos here. You'll see the Rajba, the Ritva, Bali Tosas. What did the Gemara mean? Can there be a mitzvah even if there's no Yom Tov, meaning there's no Iser, Tainus, and Hesped? Can there still be a mitzvah? Or the mitzvah implies definitely that it's a day in which there's no Tainus and Hesped. How independent is the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah from the character of the day? Exactly. One of the issues that we're talking about. So the Gemara originally said, Shaini Chanukah Dika Mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, Amalei Abaya, V'tivatel Ihi, V'tivatel Mitzvasa. Exactly this issue. So what? If Megillas Tainis is Batel, so who cares? So the Mitzvah will be Batel too. There'll be no Neros Chanukah. That's where the Rishonim discuss this question. Can you have the Mitzvah without the day? Elam Rav Yosef, Shaini Chanukah, D'mefarsim Nisa. The Gemara says, no. What's unique about Chanukah is Persume Nisa. The Ritva has two views. Is the Gemara saying that because it's a mitzvah and it's also connected to Persume Nisa, that's what makes it unique and different? Or is the Gemara dropping the mitzvah part and they're just saying it's Persume Nisa? That's the question. Either way, it's a very strange Gemara. And if there is a mitzvah, you know, that's connected to Persume Nisa, what does that have to do whether it's bottle or not? Rashi, just to highlight how difficult it is, does not say what I want to say at all. But note number 20. Rashi says, bottle Megillah, time, I'm sorry, not 20. 21. Dimefarsim Nisa, Kfaru Goli Lekol Yisrael Al Yedei Shenoa Gubal Mitzvos. Everybody knows about it already. It's in people's consciousness. They already marked it off on their calendar for the next 100 years. Right? Dichziku Bo Kishal Torah, Lo Nachon Lebatlo. Not sure if Rashi means, it sounds like Rashi means something pragmatic. I hope not. But it sounds like it. The Ritva doesn't say it exactly that way. The Ritva uses the expression towards the end of the next piece, Ayidea mitzvah disparse manes biyom tov, v'efshar labatlo. What I'd like to suggest is a reading of the Gemara, is it's not all persumei nisa, it's all the mitzvah, and it certainly isn't a pragmatic question of like, you can't get this out of people's minds and off their calendars. The idea is that what's unique about Neiros Chanukah is the fact that it's not just pure persumei nisa, and it's not just a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah first and foremost, and from the inside out. The way that you do this mitzvah in its substance spills over, right, into impacting everybody else. It's a mitzvah sheyeshba mishum persumei nisa. No one ever said that bizmanenu, that we light inside, that there's no longer persumei nisa and batla megillas tainus. Moreover, the Turi Avin raises the question, you can look at some of the columns here, Turi Avin says, and what are you going to say about Purim? Right. The fact is that Purim is Yudalad and Tezvah. Last Sar Shal Zeh, 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 Zeh. You're not allowed to do Hespid the Tainus, not in Yudalad and not in Tezvah. But you don't have business on both, depending on where you live. And Adar Rishon. Apparently, the idea of mitzvah and the idea of pirsum don't actually have to be implemented practically, the foal, in order for this idea to apply. So what's the idea? The answer may be, what I'm trying to suggest, which is that the way that the Chachamim formulated the mitzvah of Chanukah really captured not just this particular nes of Pat Shemen or the gratitude for Milchama. It really touched the chord, a much bigger idea. And that is the idea of substance and impact. And especially the idea of impact that isn't just calculated, although it is somewhat in the way it's formulated, but is designed to flow almost naturally, right, from the method of the mitzvah or from the enthusiasm behind the mitzvah. So the combination of mitzvah and pirsum establishes the character of the day of Chanukah and also Purim for a different reason, whether or not the foal you can implement it or not. Persumei nisa is a shiur in the nature of the day. Indeed, the Turi Eben discusses all sorts of other things. Safek, takala, he injects, he doesn't say what I'm saying, but he injects the factor of persumei nisa to explain it isn't really safek durabanan. He injects it to explain that normally we would distinguish between violations kumbase and sheval tasa. It's persumei nisa, it's all different. The more you think that persumei nisa and this overflow constitute the character of Chanukah, the easier it is to apply these perspectives. Let's take it a step further. The fact is that it's not just Rishumei Nisa, it may affect the issue of the Hallel as well. Let's skip a little bit because it's getting late. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, Daf Yudalet Omer Aleph, at the bottom of, I guess at the beginning of page 5, Boi minei achi tana debei rabchia mirabchia. V'halel ube megila mau shiatz. Question is, if somebody says hello to you, you know, a governmental official, a talmid chacham, what are the laws of interruption? Sugin Brachos, Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, what about halel and megillah? Amrin and Kalvachomer, Kriyashma Daraisa Posei Kalud Rabbanim Ibai. Odilma Persumei Nisa Ad. This is the third Gemara that highlights persumenis. The Tzlach already points out that it's very strange. The Gemara didn't think even in the Hava Mikan, you know, that Purim and Hallel persumenisa would be less than Kriyashma. They just want to know if it's more than Kriyashma. Maybe at the end they think it's less. But at the end of the day, Persume Nisa is going to impact on the laws of Hefsek and make the institutions the equivalent of a Dindaraisa of Kriyashma. However, beyond that, this Gemara seems to say clearly that Hallel typically is Rabban. I want to speak about that for a couple of minutes. Is Hallel Durabanan and is Hallel on Chanukah in particular Durabanan? So the Ramban in Shorish Aleph, when he tries to defend the Bahag's counting of Hallel, suggests that Hallel in general may be a Dindoraisa. At least Hallel on the Moed is a Dindoraisa. The question is, how could Hallel on the Moed be a Dindoraisa if the Gemara that I just read in Brachos, right, only because of Persume Nisa, but otherwise thinks that relative to Kriya Shema it's a Dindorabanan? So the Ramban himself says, this is on 30, that there's a difference between Yomim Shegomrim Bahem Asahal or Yom Shein Gomrim Bahem Asahal, right? The days where you say full Hallel and half Hallel, the half Hallel days or the non-full Hallel days of Drabanan. Moreover, he says, Hallel of Chanukah is also Drabanan. Question is, how could that possibly be? It would seem that there's another Gemara that seems to indicate that Hallel on Chanukah is Doraisa. Gemara in Masechet Tainis, the Mishnah there says that Kol Yom Shiesh B'Hallel Ein Maimed B'Shacharis, that any time there's Hallel, didn't have the Mamados in the Mikdash, because they were too busy saying Hallel. And then the Gemara goes on to say, like number 33, Be'echa B'Teves Lohayabo Maimed. That on Yom Tov, on Rosh Chodesh of Teves, there was no Maimed because it was Hallel. Then the Gemara says, Maishna Hallel, okay, that's fine. Then the Gemara says on line number 34, V'lisni nami be'echad b'nisa lo hayabo maimid, v'pnei sheish bo Hallel, v'korban musaf v'korban eitzim. If on Rosh Chodesh Teves, there's no Mamad because it's Hallel, then what about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? Amarava, zot omeret, right? Hey, Leila, divereish yarcha lav doraisa. And the Gemara says, Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is not Doraisa. But the implication clearly then is, that what? That the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh Teves is somehow different. What's different about it? You know, just because it's Chanukah, we're about to have Rosh Chodesh Teves. So apparently Chanukah, Hallel is Doraisa. And that's kind of what Rashi says here, number page 6. Rashi says, Minagavaseim biyadeim, right? Aval hallel the Chanukah, kagon becha b'teves vaday dachi. The kivud in the vim tiknu, which is problematic because there weren't nevi'im who were metakein neros Chanukah or Chanukah. She omri mosal kol perik and perik al kol tzorish tzavert. Actually, referencing Mar Metakein, right? Kishani galim you omri mosal al gulasan kidoraisadam. Okay. Rav Daniel Ababli, in a famous exchange with Rav Avraham Rambam, in Sefer Ma'aseh Nisim, concludes that Hallel on Chanukah and other days like it, b'nischai b'zegam kein asher nahalelo b'nishavcho yizbarach b'kol zman yisra lanu nitzchono v'gurasa. Alkein amru ki Hallel b'yomi d'chanukah d'oraisa. And he based it on, which works very well for me, b'lo sechalelu, emor kadesh. Alkein nischayev lefarseim hanisim b'kol makom shenasubo. What's fascinating is he goes on to say, so how does the Gemara say Heichan Vitzivanu when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, if Chanukah is Doraisa? So Rav Daniel Ababli says, well, if you said Hallel, then the Neiros Chanukah are Drabana. But it implies that if you didn't say Hallel, then Neiros Chanukah itself is Doraisa. Indeed, Rav Yeruchim Peshel Perlo, who wrote this massive commentary, and say from Rav Sajigon, says, oh, this is the reason that Rav Sajigon counted Neiros Chanukah in his Minyan Taryak. Because he was thinking that the Hallel on Hanukkah is Doraisa. And if you don't do the Hallel, then the nearest Hanukkah will be Doraisa. Okay, maybe. However, Rav Avraham and Rambam raises the following question. And this gets us back full circle to what we've been discussing. Rav Avraham and Rambam says, I don't understand of Danila Bavli. Every time you have a nes, you know, and you're Mefarsim, you're Megala the nes, there's Hallel Doraisa. So how come in the time when there was Megillas Tainus, right, why weren't they saying Hallel on all those days? There's no Hesped, no Tainus, no one ever said there's Hallel. Moreover, if that really was going on, then they shouldn't have been Mevatel those days because that there's Pursume Nisa. What's the difference between Megillas Tainus and Chanukah? That's over Rambam and Rambam's question. The question is a good question. It's based on the assumption. If you look at the famous tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, the last tshuva in Aruch Chaim, he's responding, he's like writing a book review on the Maariv Chayyus' Sefer. So he also has this idea that, you know, the any time it's, you know, Mimavet Slachayim, any great Tatzala of Klal Yisrael deserves Hallel. It's a general idea. But I would suggest, maybe for Daniel Abavli, or if not, just to answer this question, to navigate the Gemara and Tainus and the rest of it, that maybe it's a special din in the Hallel of Chanukah and possibly in Neros Chanukah. Because here it's not simply the fact that we're celebrating a Nes. Again, Turi Evan, when he talks about Megillas Tainus, this choker, what is it about Megillas Tainus anyway? Is it that there Yemei Simcha, or is there also some element of Zichron HaNes? But Chanukah is not just Simcha. But it's not just Zichron HaNeis. It's Pirsum HaNeis. It's Laharos, to use the language of the Rambam, Ulegalos HaNeis. It's Lizbonein Ulehosif Bishvachim that then leads to the Hodaya. Meaning, in the case of Chanukah, as the Gemara says so beautifully in Tainus, sorry, in Rosh Hashanah, it's both the Mitzvah and then the Pirsum HaNeisah. It's Laharos Ulegalos, meaning it's the principle of Sheyehei Shem Shemayim Misahe Vayadecha, the combination of Kiddush Hashem and Avos Hashem, which in general are linked. Maral makes that point. Others make that point as well. If it is the case, then we can appreciate that whenever the Gemara highlights Pirsume Nisa, it fundamentally is trying to characterize what's unique about Neros Chanukah. It's trying to establish Neros Chanukah, the Hallel of Chanukah, all aspects of it constitute dinim derabanan in the more specific way that they are implemented, right? The zmanim, and of course it also reflects Pirsum HaNeis, the mokom, etc. But then in the end of the day, they also constitute a kiyum daraisa of either or both Kiddush Hashem and Avos Hashem. And this is based also on an understanding of the scope and range and significance of these categories, Kiddush and Avos Hashem, which I want to speak about for a couple of minutes. The truth is that the Rambam already uses Kiddush Hashem and Avos Hashem interchangeably. The Gemara at the end of Masechet Yoma, the Pevav and Aleph, as I mentioned, we have here a number 40, famous Gemara that the Rambam codifies in the end of Perek Hey Hilchos Yisori HaTorah. Amar Rav Kagon Anoi Shakila Bisra Mitibcha V'Lei Hivne Dami Le'Alter. Somebody like me, if I don't pay immediately, right? A person, in other words, who's well known, who stands for something, who doesn't behave in the most appropriate, in the most appropriate way. And the Gemara elaborates that idea. And then the Gemara says, Abai Amar. I'm sorry, Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzhak is towards the middle. Kagon, the Kamri Inshi, writes, Shorele Mari Laplan. Abai Amar Kintanya. The Ahaftas Hashem Alokecha, Shehei Shem Shemayim, Misahe Val Yadecha. She Kore Vishone, Mishamish Tamid Chachamim, Yemaso Matonu Benachasim Abrio, Sma Abrio Somris Alav, Ashrei Ovid Shalom Do Torah, Ashrei Rabo Shalom Do Torah, Oilem Lebrio Shalolom Do Torah. Ploni Shalom Do Torah, Re'u kama noim derachav, kama tukonim maasav. Olav akasiv omar, bayomer li avdi ata, Yisrael Asher Becha Et Pa'er. When the Rambam quotes this halacha of Shehei Devei Torah Mis'ahe Val Yadecha, he quotes it in Perek Hei, Hilchos Yisodei Torah, the last halacha in a perek which begins, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem, and which completely speaks about Chilul and Kiddush Hashem. If you look here in Perek Hei, I'm not going to read it now because time's getting a little late, but if you look here on page 7, this is the last two, on number 42, it's the last halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam doesn't quote the Shehei Shem Shemayim Mitzayim Al Yadecha, the Abodas HaMelech, and others wonder why he omitted it. Let's say the Maral, in his Nesivos Olam, has a whole section dedicated to Avos Hashem, repeatedly makes the point that Kiddush Hashem is a subcategory of Avos Hashem. Kiddush Hashem and Avos Hashem overlap. The yisod of Avos Hashem is precisely the fact that it is a coordinating principle in Yahadus. It's not coincidental that the Rambam formulated the mitzvah of Avos Hashem as the third of the Taryag mitzvahs, the first being Mitzius Hashem, the second being Yichud Hashem, in other words, existence, and then the theologically appropriate way of understanding the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And the third mitzvah, prior to Yira, of course, is the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. If you look at the Rambam's treatment of Avos Hashem throughout his works, the first impression you get is that it's inconsistent. Because in some places the Rambam accentuates one theme, in other places the other, until you take a step back and you realize that his projection of this as the third mitzvah is also consistent with his view that Avos Hashem isn't about one theme only. It's the immersive relationship that every Jew is obligated to cultivate with the Ribono Shel Olam, which includes the intensity of it, something that he formulates, you know, so beautifully, almost as an obsession, in his famous comments in Perek Yud of the Hilchos Tshuva. Turn to that for just a second. The Rambam says, "Ha'oved me'ava." The Rambam speaks here. This is the final words of the Rambam in Sefer Mada. It's the coda to Sefer Mada. Oved me'ava, not these words, but this last chapter, Perek Yud, is all about Avos Hashem. Ha'oved me'ava osek b'torah b'mitzvah s'holech b'nesivos ha'chachma lo mipnei davar ba'olam v'lo mipnei yiras ha'ra'a v'lo kidei liras ha'tova ela osa emes mipnei shu emes v'sof ha'tova lovo b'glova. U'mala zi ma'ala gedola ma'od en kol chacham zochala v'hi ma'alas avram avinu shekara kodesh baruch hu ohavo. Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Abraham Ohavi. Here the Rambam says it refers to his absolute sincerity, the purity of his motivation, right, and his total focus and consistency. Shelo avad ela mi'ava. V'hi amala shetzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-yedei Moshe shenemar v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. Bizman sheyov adam esahava ra'uya miyad yaseh kol ha'mitzvah mi'ava. This is what we say when we mean b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol mi'odecha, b'chol midah shehu moded, b'kol ma'odecha, b'kol ma'lomcha. There can be no limits when it comes to Avos Hashem, because the purity of motivation elevates it beyond everything else. It's impossibility and indispensability, both at the same time, similar to what I spoke of before, is absolutely true about Avos Hashem as well. And then the Rambam goes on to describe that because of its purity and its range, fierce love, like a lovesick person, right? Shogimbo tamid, kemosha tivanu v'kol levavcha uv'kol nafshecha. Kicholas ava ani. The same Avos Hashem that is responsible, according to the Gemara, for Mesiras Nefesh, which is what really is the backstory, but the relevant backstory of Hanukkah itself. Mesirus Nefesh, B'chol Avavcha, B'chol Navshecha, Apilu Hu Notel, Esnapshecha, which according to the Gemara is the makar for the fact that you give up your life, even Betzina, certainly for Avodah Zarah, possibly, according to many, even for Shas Hashmad, which is the Hanukkah story. That same Pasuk is responsible for the daily Kiddush Hashem that is required of somebody, Sheyehei, Shem Shemayim, Mis'ahei Val Yadacha. That's Perek Hei Hukos Yisodi HaTorah Halacha Aleph, and Perek Hei Hukos Yisodi HaTorah, the final Halacha. The range is not a problem. The range highlights the complete immersion, the obsession, if you will, good obsession, that one is supposed to develop in terms of cultivating and developing as an Obed Hashem. Indeed, in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah Perek Beis, the Rambam establishes that Ava and Yira, instead of being opposites or simply different, go together. It's perfectly clear that according to the Rambam, Yira has no significance without Ava. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah Perek Beis Halacha Aleph does something which he does very rarely. The Rambam is incredibly organized. For him to, page 6, gotta be, for him to clump together or bundle together two mitzvos is very rare. Not unheard of, there are a couple of other examples maybe, but very few. Rambam says here in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah Perek Beis, Hakel Anechbad V'Hanora Hazeh Mitzvah La'avo U'Liyira Oso Shenemar V'Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha V'Nemar Hashem Elokecha Tiru. Typically what the Rambam would do is he would discuss the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, and then he turns to the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. But it's all explained by the continuation, right, where he goes on to say, Heichi derech la'avoso v'yiraso, again, putting them together, because this is a coordinating principle. It's not just a mitzvah v'yalma. V'sha she'yizbonein ha'adam v'masa v'bruav ha'nifloim ha'gedolim. When you contemplate the Rabbanu Shalom's actions, what do we mean by actions here? Well, he already says bruav ha'nifloim, that's the bria. And Sefer Mitzvah says, we'll see in a moment, he speaks about the creation of the Torah. He may mean that here too. Or does he mean his nisim, his interventions in history, the divine providence? The yir mehen chachmaso she'en la'erech v'lokeitz. And he sees how, you know, this is just off the charts. You can't even describe it. Miyad hu ohev, and here's the language that is similar to the language in the Pachanaka, u'mishabeach u'mifa'er, u'mitaveh tava gdola, here it is, leida Hashem agadol, kamosh amar David, soma nafshi lelokim, lekelcha. Another aspect and dimension of Avos Hashem. Rav Sajagon, mentioned, began with him, interestingly enough, omits Avos Hashem in the Minyan Taryag. Very strange. Again, Rav Yochum Fischel Perlo has a suggestion for it, strange suggestion in my opinion. He says, well, after all, isn't Avos Hashem the Mokar from the Siris Nefesh? Right? So he projects, the truth is the Maral really says this, I think he's really quoting the Maral. It's a strange comment, but an understandable one. Maral says, well, it seems like there's a Machlokas in the Gemara. Well, the Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha refers to Mesirus Nefesh Betzina in an act of Avodah Zarah, right? So then he used it up. I mean, that's what the Pasuk means. Right? It sounds like this incredibly intense, comprehensive, you know, obligation, but it just means, Afilu Notzal Nafshecha, right? Or is it this other idea? So the based on the Maral, Perlo says, oh, that's probably what Sajagon thought, unlike the Rambam, who thinks that this is, you know, very wide-ranging, seems like there are even contradictions what it refers to. Not my view, his view. Rav Sajagon has a narrower view of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and therefore he doesn't count it in the Tayag. It's just Megala Halacha. But in my opinion, the exact opposite is true. The Ran in Tzachin and Avodah Zarah says, how do you know from Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha that you're supposed to be Moser Nefesh for Avodah Zarah B'tzina? The pasuk isn't talking about avodah zarah. How do you know then you're not supposed to be moser nefesh for any mitzvah? The idea is that v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, instead of being narrower, refers to the totally coordinated, balanced way of living a life of Torah mitzvot. And therefore, when there's an ultimate loyalty test, it's incompatible to keep living if your quality of life is undermined by being over the avodah zarah. So then, v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha demands that you respond appropriately. It's not a narrow gili milsa chinish of mesiras nefesh. The same principle that establishes that you have to be ovid lishma, the same principle that coordinates yira as a function of ava, is the same principle which demands the ultimate sacrifice in some cases, or in other cases the opposite. It demands v'chai bahem, v'lo sheyamus bahem, and to use the language of the Rambam, and whoever violates under those conditions and is moser nefesh improperly, hareze miskayed benapsha. Indeed, the kosav ashlishia machria b'neim, in terms of understanding this coordinating principle and understanding how it could be the basis for the obligation to be mashpia on others, not even projected, but as a function, a natural function of the overflow of your own enthusiasm or the nature of the mitzvah that you construct, comes from the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos. And with this we will conclude. Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos very beautifully, Mitzvah Shlishis, this is number 39, Shetzivanu la'ahavo yisaleh, v'zeh again, shenitbonein v'naskil mitzvosav v'pulotav, ad shenasigeyu v'nitanit, Aneg Bahasagato Tachlita Tanu. The Zosiha Abaham Bhyapas. To know is to love, to study is to love, to involve yourself with Torah and to mitzvah and mitzvos is to cultivate what otherwise would be impossible, the concept of Avas Hashem. Here he quotes the Sifre. Lefishanemar Vyahaftas Hashem Alokecha, Eni Odea Ketzad Oheg Esamokom. How do you do this? It's a tall task. Talmud Lomar, the Hayu Hadvarim ha'ela, asher nochi mitzavcha hayom alav avecha. It's by performing the mitzvos and learning Torah. Shemitoch kach atamakir et mishamar v'hayaola. Much is made of the fact that in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam integrates limud haTorah and shmiras haMitzvos into avat Hashem, while in Yesodi haTorah, he speaks more about the bria and about maybe nisim and hashkacha. But again, you have to understand that the Rambam speaks about Avas Hashem again and again. He's obsessed with Avas Hashem because Avas Hashem is normatively an obsessive concept. Indeed, the Rambam has a whole book called Sefer Ahava. And the culmination of Perek Yud, Hilchos Tshuva, which ends Sefer Mada, right, on the note of describing one of the most intense expressions of Avas Hashem, the Rambam has Sefer Ahava, Ma Ahavti Torah Secha Kol Hayom Yisichasi, which begins with Hilchos Kriyas Shema. The Smag, when he talks about Avas Hashem, integrates it with Kriyas Shema itself. Yichud Hashem, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, as if again to say, following probably the lead of the Rambam and going, taking it in his own direction, Avas Hashem isn't a narrow hili milsa, and it's not even just a mitzvah. It's a coordinating principle after theological correct notions. It is the principle of Avodah Hashem itself. Therefore, the Rambam concludes here, in Sefer Mitzvos, with the following. Hine kvar biyaru lecha, ki distaklus titamek lecha, ha'asaga v'yagia atanug v'tovo ha'ava be'echreya. Faromer shemitzazu kolelas gamkein shenidrosh v'nikro ha'anoshim kulam lavodaso yis'ale v'lahavim. If indeed Avas Hashem is such a pervasive, such a demanding mitzvah, and it's really based on this intense sense of commitment, full range of activities that are connected with it, etc., so then it's small wonder then it also requires that this be something that overflows and shares with others. Tehav Adam, right? Tasim libcha alav. If you love somebody, right, you focus on that person. Utishabchehu, and you'll once again mosif b'shevach. Utivakesh anashim lehovoso. You become, that becomes your mission. You want everybody to appreciate this person. That's not a standalone strategy. That's an overflow, right, from the feelings and from the activities that you're already involved in. Dezel, tzadamashal, kein, kishatavakel, be'emet, if you truly love the Rabbono Shel Olam, kemoshi gilacha mi'atsagas amitaso, as would be a consequence of properly having an understanding of him, kiniyata below safek, tidrosh v'tikra kofrim, v'askalim, li'idiyas ha'emes. You won't be able to abide incorrect beliefs, people who are whiling or whittling away their lives in a meaningless way. Asher yadata ota. V'lashon sefri v'ahapta es Hashem aveyu al abrios ka'avram avicha shenemar es hanefesh asher asu v'charon. Avraham Avinu's Kiruv project wasn't a standalone project. It wasn't a calculated project. It was a spontaneous overflow, right, and then it became a project of his authentic, it was an inside out. It was a mitzvah that overflowed. Potzalomar, Kimo Shav Avraham Bavur Shei Oev Hashem, Kimo Sheita Katuv. The same pasuk that he quotes earlier in a different way, because these are different sides of the same coin. Avraham Oavi, Shehaya, Gam Kein Legodel Hasagaso, Darasha Anashim Elo Amuna, Mechozek Avaso. My opinion, this is what makes Neiros Chanukah singular and really unique. It's the idea that there's a mitzvah, that that mitzvah has standards, that that mitzvah was generated by Chazal in a natural way. It was their initiative to respond b'derech shevach u'behoda'a, and then mimela, as the Rambam says it, le hadlik neiros al pesach abatit. The venue is part of the core of sharing or the overflow, which is intended to have, to be the result of, but a natural corollary also of, hosafas hashevach and the aspect of hodah. Indeed, if this is the case, we can really appreciate, you know, why the Rambam elevated Hanukkah the way that he did. And indeed, his description of it as mitzvah chavivahi ad ma'ot, the language of chiba and ahava, it's worth b'chol no'avcha, b'chol na'avshaka, u'b'chol mi'odecha, even to be bocher ksuso, the idea of mahadrin, the idea that there has to be substance to the hadlaka of Neros Chanukah before there can then be pirsumei nisa. That's why kavsa Ein Zakukla. That's why you really need a shear. According to some, the shear has to be there. All the halakos, which I'm not going to go into now, which are about the relationship between the hadlaka and the pirsum, all of this is a function of the Kiddush Hashem, even more the Avas Hashem, Doraisa Kiyum foundation of Chanukah, as something that comes from substance and then is shared naturally with others. I just want to conclude, again, this is the 10th year in the 9th Yortzeit of my mother's Ptira on Chanukah. And to me, it's also a very appropriate topic to dedicate to her memory. I would say that my mother manifested much of the range and much of the integration of the program of Avas Hashem as a coordinating principle, and did so in a very unselfconscious way. She certainly wouldn't claim to be, the representative or the exemplar of Avas Hashem, a humble person who underestimated her own impact and her own significance as part of her special quality, her tznius. But she was somebody who, without projecting or calculating, she had no guile, was very influential, was very impactful to anybody who came in contact with her. And that's precisely because they sensed, number one, that she was an idealist, that she was somebody who, you know, really was optimistic about life, but a simcha fachayim and a certain wonder and awe for the Bria, certain wonder and awe for Hashgacha, for history, especially for Jewish history and for Jewish destiny, for the creation of Medinas Yisrael, for the continued, you know, growth and development of Klal Yisrael. She's somebody who had just a tremendous sense of inspiration, you know, from the world around her. My mother taught math, and in her earlier stage taught English literature. She was somebody who was comfortable, you know, in both of those worlds. She enjoyed the beauty, you know, and the purity, you know, of mathematics, and she was a student of, you know, of people. She, you know, she loved literature and what it brought to her. Her impact on her kehillah as a dedicated rebbetzin, on her students as a devoted teacher who had great love for them, which spilled over, and of course, especially on the first of the concentric circles on her family, it was much greater than she ever knew. And the reason for that is because it wasn't calculated. It wasn't a din in Persume Nisa. It was an inside out. It was her sincerity and her excitement, her enthusiasm for the things that she appreciated and enjoyed about people, the world, and her family, which kind of overflowed in a very inspiring way and an unforgettable way to the people around her. To this day, I meet you know, her students, who are students in math, essentially, who tell me that she, you know, was an amazing role model to them as a person and as a frum person and as an Ovedes Hashem. And again, it's not what she was projecting, but it's just who she was. And that is truly the idea of Avraham Ohavi. So as we, you know, read in last week's parsha of the concept of Demusis Yukno, in the story of Yosef, although it's 10 years later, I know that for myself and for all the family members and, you know, for many others who knew her, her regal bearing and her sincerity and, I say, her principled posture and especially her Simcha Fachayim are things that continue to impact us and will continue to endure.